Hello and welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And today we are getting some more Marvel entertainment coming at us. Well, if this is what, our second movie of the year from the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
There was Doctor Strange. Point
where, was there something else? Eternals was last year, right? Like, sometimes I get kind of confused on these anymore.
I think it's like number 19 if you count like all the Disney Plus shows. But
I don't really count that. That's like,
yeah, this is like the second or third Marvel thing to come out this year. And it's one of those things where it's kind of like, remember how like before, just like, guys, we only get like one superhero movie every like 4 years. And then it became like, oh, cool, we're on a steady track. We get like one or two a year. Now it's just like, well, we're getting like just three or four a year from Marvel alone.
Yeah, well, and then there's always those people that kind of could do that thing where they complain, where they're like, it's just only superhero movies in the theaters. And I'm like kind of adding up my fingers. I'm like five movies, maybe six, like the maximum out of an entire year are superhero movies in the theaters. Let's be honest. Like, how many, every other movie is not a superhero movie for the most part.
It just comes in waves, but they're also like, studios are being greedy in the aspect of like, they didn't really mean, bring it back to one of the things people always bring up about this. Actually, I bring it up a lot whenever we talk about superhero movies, but like the Martin Scorsese thing, kind of like, he was mad because the Irishman wouldn't go to theaters. It was like, it's a 3.5 hour movie on Jimmy Hoffa. A lot of people don't even remember what the fuck Jimmy Hoffa was about or what that whole thing was. So like, you know, but that said, I am starting to get a little like, not every Marvel movie or not every superhero thing. I am starting to feel a little bit of the fatigue with like, I guess because I keep up with the shows too, but I still enjoy it. But we are at that point where I think people are starting overall, unless they kind of change the way they're going about it. I feel like they are starting to kind of like get a little less popular.
Well, it's weird because this movie was like super crowded inside the theater, and I saw it like, you know, like the fifth showing of the day or something like that. And you know, for me, I think what it is like, I pretty much have always enjoyed these ones here in the last while, but they are kind of getting that point where they're kind of almost by the numbers anymore. Like, nobody's trying too much ballsy. There'll be certain like small ballsy things, but I mean, like, I think it's like, it's not like we're getting like those Logans or like those Deadpools where you're like, oh, there you go, there's something new and different to try out, you know what I mean? It feels like when it comes to the Marvel ones, it's like they kind of know what works for them and they're kind of sticking to like the formula in a sense.
Before we go into the actual story and if we liked it or not, there was a thing saying, who knows if this is true, just like an article. Apparently, in setting up other stuff, Kevin Feige wasn't as involved with the last couple of Marvel, like Phase 4 movies, but he was heavily involved with this. He got more involved with this one. So I will say, I think overall, I mean, there are some good movies in it still, but I think Phase 4 has been relatively kind of weaker, just because it is not because it all doesn't connect and it's not spoon feeding me all the information, but there is a lot of this like bringing up points and they're not all connecting as quickly as you're used to seeing them. So it's kind of like, well, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean there. Well, it's kind of like weird too, because I thought about it, I'm like, because this is the first of kind of like, in a sense, like, if you kind of broke down the cinematic characters kind of from like, there's the A-list characters, the B-list characters, and the C-list characters. I don't mean that like, and it's like in like a bad way, like these ones are worse than others, but there's almost like the A-list, which is pretty much your core Avengers, which is, you know, Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, I guess, you know, even though he's sort of like in this sort of like the fun friend that you bring to every party. But you know what I mean? It's like, he's not going to get his own movie anymore, but he's
arm wrestle no more either.
Yeah, you know, and I probably would say almost Black Widow, just because she's been there just long enough. Those are kind of like the core A-list main characters there. You know, and then you kind of get the like B, which I feel is like Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxies, and so on, that kind of go there. And then you get the C, which are like, they're kind of like the real oddball ones. You know what I mean? Like the ones you almost kind of forget, like, oh yeah, they did have a movie at one point. Or they maybe aren't have their own movie, but they're kind of like, they'll be like an Anne character or something like that. Or somebody like, sadly, like someone like Hawkeye fits into like that C character like list, like, you know, well, they'll get a TV show instead. Well, you know what I mean? Maybe not movie material, but
yeah. Well, I liked the Hawkeye show, but I think it actually would have worked better as a movie, just more of a condensed like 2 hour movie. Yeah. But I'll say I feel like how do I put this, because I don't want to. I like this one. I thought this one, without going too much into it, like there is some of the things, like things we kind of do complain about other Marvel movies happening in this. But I guess when you kind of go in expecting that, and then you also, it didn't do it as much as I thought it would. So I was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, it did it, but it didn't do it, like, as much, at least for me personally. And then, so I think this is probably, for me personally, as far as Phase 4 goes, I think this is probably my second favorite, because I really, as far as Phase 4 goes, I only really liked, I mean, I liked them all, but liked to, okay. I really liked Spider-Man No Way Home a lot. That was, like, one of the movies last year.
That's and definitely, then, like, the high end of, like, that's the high end of all the Marvel Cinematic stuff, I feel. Like, it's in, like, that kind of category.
And then, like, probably this one. And then as far as the rest of Phase 4 goes, I mean, I'm not going to, like, just list them off, like, from best to worst. But, I mean, I feel like these two are probably the strongest, maybe because even though No Way Home is expecting you to look back on movies that came out 20 years ago, mm-hmm. this one just felt more, like, focused in and continuing a story of a character we've been following for a while, where, like, Doctor Strange looked more of, like, and look who's here now, you know, where a little bit more of, like, trying to either set up new characters, get their whole story, or just kind of run off, like, the coattails of previous movies. Where this one, I guess, to its extent, at least, it was more focused in on this group of characters rather than focusing on the Marvel Universe itself, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely something I do give it credit for, is I like how it did just kind of focus on Thor characters. Like, it could have done that thing where, like, yeah, because at first I almost thought it was going to be one of those ones, like, it was going to be, like, a half Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and it's, like, not saying that that's not cool, but, like, it's, like, a lot of times what happens there is, you know, if you want to shoehorn all these characters in, somebody's got to get the boot, and Thor's kind of been getting the boot the whole time. He's kind of, even though he's, like, an A-list character, he's kind of always has been sort of treated, like, on the lower end tier. Like, you know, everything kind of, Asgard gets destroyed, a lot of his stuff there. A lot of times they don't even know really what to do with their movies every single time. He always kind of gets the, kind of, like, the shuffle, because I will say, like, all the Thor movies, like, I don't dislike any of them, but, like, they've all kind of been that one where, like, they're always like, gosh, this could be so amazing. This could be Captain America amazing, because that's, like, the barometer for, like, the high end of all high ends. But they always felt like there's always just something just off just enough that kind of, like, throws, like, a curve at you and so on. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, it's kind of like from even the beginning ones, because even though I like Thor 1 and 2 as well. You know, but I like them probably more than, like, the average person does. But at the same time, it's like one of those ones, you got this cool world of Asgard. It's so amazing. It's all this stuff you've never seen before and so on like that. Let's go to Arizona to bumfuck nowhere. You know what I mean? You're like, what? Well, it was, I mean, like, I get at that time period, that's probably just the way, like, hey, we got this Thor movie. We're not too sure what to do with it. Like, how can we cut this budget down? Shoot it somewhere in Arizona.
Well, that was us when we went to go see it, definitely. We were like, you have Asgard, you have frost giants, and you spend how much of the movie in fucking, like, New Mexico or Arizona in, like, a fucking city that's obviously a fucking set? That was, like, us walking out of the movie at first, and then time went on, like, actually, that was a fun movie. I liked it.
And then, it's like, I've come around to that one, because it's that thing that once you accept it and you kind of go, okay, if that's just what it is, that's okay. It is a good movie. What I like about that one is that one's still taken really seriously. Like, there literally is not a joke till 32 minutes into that movie. I remember literally watching a timer, and I, like, the second that a joke appeared, I looked at it, I'm like, that's how long it is. And the only people that really say jokes is Kat Dennings, which is annoying jokes, but you know, whatever. And then, you know, Thor has a couple of them in there, but it's like, it's played pretty darn straight. Same with even Thor 2. Thor 2's played pretty straight as well, too. You know? And that's one, like, I actually like Thor 2 more than probably the average person does. It still has some cool stuff in it, but then it does do some weird things where you're just like, it should be cooler than it really is. You know?
Yeah, I've only seen Thor 2, like, twice. And that one, I think everyone says that's the worst MCU movie. I don't know if that one's the worst, but it's not, like, top tier in my opinion.
If anyone's the worst, I hate to sort of say it, it's Ant-Man 2. And maybe that's because I went in there with such high hopes thinking it was going to be as good as the first one, if not better. And that was just like, oh, what the hell happened here?
I think maybe because, I mean, at the time I didn't think it was the worst, but as time's gone on, it was like, I think maybe Eternals. In all honesty, just because it's a long ass movie, and then, you know, it's trying to go off all this shit of, like, writing off of, like, Endgame and the snap, and that's why we couldn't interfere, because these fucking, like, space lizard things couldn't show up, and what you do, what could you do about it, you know? And then, I mean, I give it credit, the guy who we're meant to believe is, like, the main strong man hero is the villain, which I thought was kind of a cool twist, but beyond that, it was still kind of like, because I think majority of these movies, with the exception of, like, Infinity War, all, like, have an ending, but there's more to come. Where that one is just like, okay, we're all wrapped up here, and space god is like, where the fuck you going? And like, you guys are gonna fucking answer for what you did. You know, you pissed me the fuck off. You killed my kid who was coming out of the earth. Like, shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the big twist, like, okay, well, they're gonna be baiting us with a badass, like, you know, setup for, like, at least the post credit scenes gonna be something cool, right? And it's just like characters that barely anybody fucking knows. I was like, who the fuck is Black Knight? And I only got more excited retroactively after the fact, because apparently the person off screen said something to the Black Knight character.
That's Black Knight I know is Martin Lawrence.
I was gonna say, what if that's all it was? Yeah. It was actually, you know, the guy off screen that says something that you don't see, that's Blade. But they don't, yeah. But we don't, you didn't know that.
But he's off screen. So it's, he's like, you know, yeah. You know, but yeah, no, that one was kind of a, see, that one, I also in my mind, I thought, like, this one's going to be probably like ballsy. It's going to probably be like a Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, that's like when I was initially going into them, like, they're going to do something cool with it. And then I think it was like, when you're watching it, you're like, well, I guess they're not.
It was kind of ballsy in some aspects. Like, I appreciate, because for a minute, like, you know, before the movie came out, Kevin Feige's like, I think this is the movie that might get us possibly win a Best Picture, maybe. And then I'm like, really? Okay. And then I'm like,
a bold statement there.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I mean, not saying that if a movie's good, if it wins, it's immediately good, or it's you know, Best Picture means it's better than other movies. But I was like, okay, all right. I'm curious to know what makes him say that. So I went to see the movie. I'm like, did you see a different cut, or is there like another, is there like, did you just read the script, or was there something else going on? Because I was like, you thought that one was gonna be the direction wasn't bad, it was just too much shit going on, and I don't know, just
yeah if a it's movie's gonna win it, it's the Winter Soldier, let's be honest, you know what I mean, and that time passed, so
yeah, Winter Soldier, yeah, no. Or shit, I'll say it, and people might call me a fanboy, I'll fucking say it, Endgame.
Yeah, exactly. Endgame. You know, yeah. You know, I mean, granted, that's one of those movies, I guess if you took it by itself, if, like, you never saw any other movie and you watched just that one, you'd be kind of like, I mean, yeah, there's some cool action, but, like, what's the big hype about it all? You know what I mean? Like, if that was all you saw and you knew nothing about, really, these characters.
I give that one so much credit, though, and we'll actually talk about the movie at hand in a second, but I give Endgame so much credit because, you know, 20 movies or something came before that, and just that's a lot to balance and ride off of. And a lot can seem cluttered and mishandled. And for somehow that movie, it's a 3-hour movie. It goes by very quickly, especially for being a 3-hour movie. There's like all the action's really good, all the drama and it's really good. The comedy, I think, is well timed and well placed. And I think that's like a perfect Marvel movie in my opinion. So that's kind of like one where I'm just like, wow, this could have been like the easiest movie to fuck up, but you guys made it one of your best.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I feel like that was the thing, is they knew they couldn't jack that one up. You had to get that one as dialed in as possible and so on like that. Sometimes when it comes down to the movies like this, care kind of like the middle ones, like these are kind of the experimental sections and so on like that, you know, and it's like, it's the one thing is, if we're getting back to Thor, you know, I go into like Thor Ragnarok, because Ragnarok is the one that, like, that's the one that so many people love the living daylights out of. And that movie is the one I had like the biggest, like, mixed feelings on. It was like, I remember sitting there like, arms crossed on the theater, like, what are they doing to Thor? They're making him.
Why are you all laughing? Why are you all enjoying this?
Yeah. Like, I've never just seen that and going, like, there's something wrong here. I mean, I'm going to say this. The movie that came out this year called The Northman, that's the Thor movie I always wanted to see. Like, that movie right there, you give some magical powers to that guy and a hammer in that film, that right there is the perfect, you know, Thor movie you could ever have. That would be like Thor from the comics, in a sense, you know? But it's one of those ones, like, it's, I felt like it's like, you know, like, hey, we sort of tried with one and two, we kept it kind of like, you know, serious and so on like that, you know, or serious enough as in like a blockbuster serious, but and then it just felt like Thor Ragnarok, like, you know what, let's roll the dice, let's give it kind of a Guardians of the Galaxy thing, go there. But I just remember, like, that was one of those ones, like, that whole beginning sitting there like, what is going on here? Like, and, like, I was so amped with it by the trailer and so on like that. And granted, I will say, that's one of those movies that I actually only have seen it once in theaters. Like, I bet you if I went back and watched it again and kind of knew what was going into, I think I could, like, enjoy it a little bit more. But I felt like I've almost been, like, scarred from that movie, that, like, I feel like I was like, no, no, it's too soon. I can't go back yet. Like, you know what I mean? Because the weird thing about that movie is, I'll say it, it's one of those ones where, like, half the movie is really amazing. Like, it's got great action in it, all kinds of cool stuff going on. I like the kind of space travel and all that stuff there, the Planet Hulk stuff. I mean, there's so many good things going on. But then there's just so much dumb comedy in Thor Ragnarok that's just like it almost just feels like you're watching like a scary movie presents like the Marvel series. You know what I mean? Like it's in like the spoof category almost.
I wouldn't say it's as bad as the scary movies, but it's one of those things where...
Well, because the scary movies don't have a bunch of cool action to back it up in between.
Well, number two does.
I guess that's true. That's right. I forgot about that.
David Cross is like in the wheelchair doing the Mission Impossible 2 thing, you know? what was I going to say? I kind of was on a little bit of like a euphoria high when I went to go see Thor Ragnarok because I went to my local comic book store at the time and it was not far from Free Comic Book Day. And the guy who I just let me bullshit with him, he's like, do you work next Tuesday? I'm like, what? Do you work next Tuesday? I'm like, no. He's like, here's tickets to go see Thor Ragnarok, early screening. I was like, you know, so I was just like, get there early, otherwise seats could fill up. Like, okay. Yeah. You know, I'm like, I'm going to go see Thor Ragnarok early before the average public, you know? So there was a little bit of this, like, you know, like, starry-eyedness to it. And then I saw it again, and I kind of was watching it. And I was like, I can't help but go see a Marvel movie because I know we're going to talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
So I can't go see a Marvel movie and think, what's Spencer going to say about this? And the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, I'm enjoying this. I know exactly what Spencer's going to say, you know? And then watching it again, like, cause it was like, yeah, it was a little, I still think that one's a little too jokey, but if all the parts that are kind of like, I can really count on one hand, they're just badly timed jokes, which is like after the planet's about to be destroyed, like Korg says something like, in generations, it will become a foundation for other planets, or it explodes. Or, oh, never mind. There it goes. You know, it just like that was just bad timing for that kind of joke. And then there was also like, there's like two or three moments where they're trying to do the whole badass superhero thing, but then they just make a joke out of it. And you could do that, but it's just like, would I know it's coming? That it's going to be a joke. It's like.
Yeah,
I feel it defeats itself. Like, there's the part where, like, that's what heroes do. He throws a ball, hits himself in the face. Like, one time, that's kind of funny. And the second time, you know, you have Bruce Banner, like, saying, you know who I am. He jumps out of the building, face plants. People think he's dead. Like, oh, then he turns into Hulk after the fact. Like, that. It's not that's not funny, but just, like, all this stuff. I knew it was going to happen because that's just kind of the way this movie approaches it. So I'm not really anticipating this cool badass thing and to laugh at later down the line. It's just, oh, okay.
I think the thing for me, it's like, it's something, if it's like Teen Titans Go, you can have all those jokes in there because you're in a comedy. You're literally in a sitcom. You expect all that stuff. I think it's when you're like, they're trying to do that's the only thing about the Marvel. I think that's the hardest thing the Marvel movies have always kind of done is they try to balance it between having a serious thing and then kind of having sort of this goofy comedy thing. And that goes with like multiple of the series and it kind of flows between different ones. Some take themselves more serious than the others, but it's that thing that it has that thing that like a lot of times sequels sort of have where like, they'll be like, hey, the first one, people kind of like those little couple extra jokes you had in there. And then they're like, okay, well for the sequel, we're going to like double or triple down on them. And then you're like, well now you sort of lost what the original movie kind of captured sometimes.
Yeah. And I think Thor 3, cause I actually really like Taika Waititi, the director. So Ragnarok, I really did like, and at the time I liked it, but I didn't like it as much as other people. As time's gone on. I don't know if I wouldn't know if I call it one of my favorites, but I like it more than when I first saw it.
How I feel like I would feel if I watched Thor 3 again, knowing going into it, I'd probably be like, okay, I'll just accept it for what it is. And, you know, I would probably enjoy it. As I said, like, I've never disliked any of the Thors. It's just, you know, Thor 3 was kind of like, that to me was kind of the low point of it. Though it balances out with actually having really amazing scenes, but then I feel like the other stuff kind of drops it down to my least favorite Thor.
So going on to that, 18 minutes in, what do you think of Thor 4?
It's a buildup. That's how these movies are. It's like, it's in a sense, it's like we're talking about like, you know, the 25th sequel, if you really kind of think about it.
Yeah, true. Like Bond, really.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Less time to get there.
Except for, yeah, Bonds aren't nearly as like connected as these ones are.
Going in, I guess, what'd you think of this one?
This one, I thought it was middle of the road for me. Like I enjoyed it, but I thought I was going to like it actually more. And it's not that, I'll say this, the comedy actually was toned down. There's still a lot of jokes, but it wasn't as bad as Thor 3. It sounds weird. Like, not that much happens in this movie. Like, in like the short and simple of it. Not saying there's not cool stuff in it, but like, It's like literally like Thor's hanging out. Like they give you kind of like a recap, which I think that's kind of a fun way to kind of go through it. Cause you're like, oh, you really have to like recap like a handful of like plot points that happened to like, you know, the average Joe that might not remember all this stuff. Even myself, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that part and so on. But it does that, but then it's like, next thing you know, it's like, hey, by the way, Thor, you got trouble in Asgard, new Asgard, that is. So he has to kind of go back there. You know what I mean? He learns that Lady Thor's there and whatnot like that. They kind of go there and they're like, shit, the kids have been captured. Let's go get the kids. And it's like, and that's practically the entire bit of the movie. I mean, I know that kind of sums up real fast, but it's like, it's one of those ones I remember kind of going like, oh, that's kind of it? Oh, that's seemed kind of short and simple to the point. I mean, there's things that happen in between, and I get that and so on like that there, but like the core plot of it is very simple.
Yeah, I found myself like, I'm probably, I don't know if I like it more than three, but I think
I definitely like it more than three, but
I like it more than, I don't know if I like it more than three. I got to think about that because I don't even really know. I back when I was probably in my early 20s, I probably had favorite list of movies in this order from least favorite to most favorite. Now I'm just like, I don't know. Here's my top three, I guess. But this one for me, it's like as far as on the Marvel scale, I wouldn't say it's a mid-range Marvel movie, but it's probably it's good. I think it's like probably a little, it's like, I think the worst kind of Marvel movie is like the okay. Like, okay, for me personally, like Thor 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Eternals, you know, like yeah. Iron Man 2.
I like Thor 2 definitely more than this one, but
I like this one more than Thor 2. But at the same time, though, it is one of those things where there was comedy in it. There was some comedy that was not placed in the best spots, but it wasn't like the worst comedy. It wasn't like, wasn't as bad as like seeing like his whole planet get destroyed with a punchline right after the fact, you know?
Yeah, or like Fat Thor and all that kind of stuff and so on like that.
I'll go with Fat Thor just because we had time. It's been like 5 years. And then we walk in, all this shit's happened. And as it goes on, it's kind of funny. Like, hey, look at this fucking slob. And then as time goes on, like, oh, he's fucking broken. He's just, it starts off as a joke, but then it gets sadder as it goes on. So it's like, so I like Fat Thor.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get it. It's one of those ones. I get it. I remember when I first saw the movie, I was like, what the hell are they doing here? Like, it's one of these ones, like, what is this blasphemy you're doing right now? You know, but it's like, okay, storytelling wise, okay, I sort of get it because they've kind of like, you know, literally the writers of like the movies have like really like always kicked Thor in the nuts the whole time. But so he is the broken character in a weird way, like, you know, but yeah, it's like overall, it's like the things that, I mean, there's still a lot I like about this one. Like this one does have, when there is action, it's totally badass. Like, especially even that beginning scene too, where like, it's like with the Guardians of the Galaxy and whatnot, and they're out there and they're like, dude, where's Thor going to show up? And it almost has that feeling of almost like Brad Pitt, like in Troy, where they're like, dude, where's your best warrior at? Go get him.
Well, I like about
it would have been
is,
almost even better if you would, it would have been just Thor's just there naked, just a bunch of like shit, like women around him, so like that. They're like, is this movie called Thor Love and Thunder? It's like he's working through some shit right now.
Yeah,
a couple dudes there, a couple animals, farm animals,
those goats. Like, I'll give him a reason to scream.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? But like, they literally get him, and then he just shows up there and just goes around, just totally fucking kicks ass, like big badass action scene. Ends up destroying the guy's like temple and whatnot.
Also, welcome to the jungle.
Yeah, Ultimate Welcome to the Jungle, which really weird. It's like, okay, I knew that song was kind of in there because it was like in the trailer, but it's like this thing's like almost like a promo for like Guns N' Roses, but it's like a weird promo because it's like it feels like Appetite for Destruction just got released and this movie's like the tie-in movie for it to kind of get it going there. And then the other weird thing about it is like, I'm like, well, there's no Guns N' Roses in this movie. Like, I was actually expecting, because they used to be in movies all the time. That was like the way that they made money back in the day, is that they would just show up to movies and half the time they wouldn't even be in them. But, you know, they're in like Dirty Harry and they're in like, God, what the heck else is Slash? I know Slash is in a couple other ones, same with Axel, but draw a blank right now. But I was almost expecting to have some cameo by at least, you know, Axel and or Slash, you know, and they weren't kind of in there.
Even Heimdall's son, like, here's the son who's been here the whole time, just off screen with the wife. Like, he's like, I got my Axel now.
Well, it's just so weird. It's like, well, those ones like, you want to be Axel? He's like, yeah. You want to be literally the whitest guy in the group? Yeah. Okay. Sure. I just, you know, I mean, it would be more positive. He's like, I want to be Duff. I want to give him more credit for that. Or I want to be, you know, like, I want to be Dizzy. I'm going to be the keyboard player.
Everybody wants to be Axl and Slash, but, you know.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's weird. It's like, it goes like, it's not just like, oh, there's a couple Guns N' Roses songs, and it's like, no. It really feels like they're trying to push, like, it has just that old-fashioned thing of, like, product placement in it, but it's weird for product placement for an album that's, like, 30 years old by now.
Well, it's also one of those things, I don't want to go...
Jesus Christ, that album's, like, 34 years old by now.
Don't remind me. I mean, it came out before I was born, or like a year after I was born or whatever, but still, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, the album's literally like as old as us, but...
what was I going to say? Not to go back to like this past Marvel movie again, but like you had Iron Man 2, because, you know, they played like AC/DC in the first Iron Man, and then Iron Man 2, they're playing AC/DC a lot. And even to help promote the movie. Because AC/DC, I think they put out, like, I think maybe they had a new album or a special live recording album that just came out or something like that. They could only buy exclusively at Walmart of all fucking places. And they had, like, a t-shirt of, like, and this is one that where I went on my, fuck AC/DC, just because they're getting pushed everywhere. There was a t-shirt of Iron Man and Axl Rose back-to-back. Angus Young,
yeah.
Back to back, and it said "Shoot to Thrill." And I was like, "Get the fuck out of here!" Now, don't be wrong. If there was like a T-shirt of like Batman and Tom Morello back to back, yeah, I'd buy that definitely. But in the moment, I was like, oh, "Get the fuck out of here!" You know. So,
well, it is one of those, like, I really like AC/DC, but like, it's like when you start seeing a little too much product placement, it almost feels like, yeah, there's like this thing, there's like this inner punk rock in me. It's like, whoa, back off. It's almost going too mainstream for me right now. I don't know if I can handle it. It's like, it's the Walmart thing I get when AC/DC is old. It's like, yeah, we're fucking old. Of course we want the money deal right now.
Yeah,
I can die tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck you and your principles.
I got that and I understood that.
Malcolm's
really...
going to die in 4 years from now. He needs the money right now.
Get this going. Well, it's one of those things where it's just like Walmart of all places for AC/DC. That was the only thing. I get the whole like these guys got to make money too. But it's like Walmart and AC/DC, really. Okay, but yeah. But then it was also at the time I was like, our local radio station was placing AC/DC every like 15 minutes, so I was just like, fuck AC/DC, I'm fucking done with them. And that movie didn't help with it. But at the same time, though, this feels more like he was just listening to a lot of Guns N' Roses while he was writing it. Just even to the point where we're not going to go, we'll go more in order, but even in the final battle, they play the solo from November Rain. For a second, I was like, I know this song. I know it's a Guns N' Roses song. I was like, this isn't like just any part of, this is like November Rain, a very specific part of November Rain.
Yeah.
You got to get through like 2.5 minutes before you get to this part of the song.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like a 6.5 minute song or something like that. And the thing too is like, I was actually, because at first it's like, okay, they're just playing kind of the big numbers. Okay, you got Paradise City, you got Welcome to the Jungle. It's like, you know, you got Sweet Child of Mine, yada, 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 yada. It's like, that's that kind of thing where you're like, okay, those are good songs, but those are the ones that like, once you listen to Guns N' Roses enough, you mostly skip past those songs and you go to all the other stuff. So then at least when they played that one there, you know, November Rain, it's like, oh, that's at least okay. That's kind of cool. Because at first I was like, is this literally just going to be the tie-in Appetite for Destruction? Like, movie thing here, which not a bad thing, don't get me wrong, I love Guns N' Roses, that's one of my favorite bands from growing up and everything like that too, so I think it's cool to have that in there and so on. But then it's kind of weird at the very end, then there's a Dio song in the credits, and it's almost like by this point you played all Guns N' Roses, you might as well just be all Guns. What's up the one random Dio song? Not
the Rainbow
that's
in
not
the Dark
cool, but like, yeah, and it's just one of those ones, like, I mean, it makes sense, but like I almost kind of felt like it almost should have just had like all 80s kind of like hard rock kind of hair metal, you know, album, because then you could have sold an album, or you don't really sell it nowadays, you put it on Spotify as a playlist. You could have had like a tie-in to go with it, and that would have been kind of cool, you know what I mean? Just put all kinds of stuff on there, put some Twisted Sister on there, put some Iron Maiden, there's all sorts of these bands I think that would have fit. Because it's almost in a sense what this movie sort of is going for, in a sense, is that tone of like a Queen movie, you know what I mean? But The downfall, I think, to like, even though it's kind of cool they got the tunes in there, what's missing from like what like a Queen movie would have had back in the day is Queen would have made original songs for it. And that's why I think what makes things like Highlander and so on like that seem much more special is because the songs like, oh shit, they literally made music for this movie. So now it like resonates with it. Or I'm even going to say it's because this is just came out recently, but like Top Gun 2, you got Kenny Loggins. I know that's not the same thing as like Guns N' Roses or something like that, but you know, you know what I mean? You have the music that's made for the movie specifically, so it has more of a tie-in. Like the whole time I was watching this, I was really hoping like, is there going to be like a brand new Guns N' Roses song that's going to kind of go in with the movie and they're going to use it to kind of sell here and so on? And it's like, no.
That would have been cool. I mean,
a little bit of a missed opportunity there.
What if out of all this, somewhere on there, they have this going to be like just kind of like Guns N' Roses talk for a minute. What if all like of all this stuff on here, somewhere in the middle of the movie, they had a song from Chinese Democracy?
Yeah, exactly. I want to take that.
I forgot about this one.
Yeah, a little spaghetti incident. They got one of those ones in there. You know what I mean? You know, but and it's not. I'm not saying like as I said, it's cool. But I was like, I was almost expecting like this is like the perfect opportunity to have that tie-in thing. Because I'll say this because Top Gun 2 just did this recently. Like I give them credit because they were even pulling like old school kind of like techniques back again. Because even though, you know, they got that Lady Gaga song and everything like that, but they made it feel kind of like the old school ways where you got the music video that has scenes from the movie interconnected together. It's a song made for it, all this kind of stuff like that. I felt like that's what this Thor Love and Thunder sort of needed was like, I mean, granted, Guns N' Roses, I don't think, have written a song together. They play together and make a lot of money, but they do the Rage Against the Machine thing where like, yo, we can play together, but we ain't writing stuff together.
Yeah. No, I didn't even think I knew that Guns N' Roses was going to be in this. I know they're going to be in as much as they were, though. Which is kind of like, you know, what was the big theme of the last one was like
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, yeah. So
yeah, which I remember that was like I remember when that was I was like it's such a you should have had Kiss, God of Thunder, like it's like one of those ones. But who knows? Maybe Gene Simmons was asking for too much money. But like, dude, awesome. It's Gene Simmons. He likes comic books more than probably anybody does. Come on.
He's like, I want to be Odin. Well, Anthony Hopkins is Odin. I don't care. I'll be Odin. You know,
so. Hey, he could have been Sam Neill Odin.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say because there was an example of a scene that, like, when they're doing sort of the catch ups of like trying to like remind you of what happened in like the previous Thor slash you know Avengers and so on. There's a part where they're putting like on a cheap production of like the Thor story from Thor 3 and whatnot like that, and it's a play, and it's one of those ones. I'll say this: if it was not these actors, this would have been one of those ones like, what the hell is this? Like, you got New Asgard, and it's like a cheap, crappy like you know like tourist trap and so on like that. Like, it just makes it feel so shameful. And then you got this here, but the upside is in this play, you got Sam Neill playing Odin, you got Matt Damon in there as Loki, and then you got the other brother, Chris Hemsworth,
not Liam, but the
not
other
Liam,
one.
But the other brother. I think there's four brothers in total. There's like the other brother or something like that. But
and then Melissa McCarthy is Hella.
Yeah. So, no.
And which those guys? They were in the. They had a similar scene in Ragnarok.
Oh, did they have that?
Yeah, not like Melissa McCarthy wasn't there, but they were covering the things from Thor 2.
And it's been so long since I haven't seen that since theater, so maybe I totally spaced out on that.
But that was also one of those scenes, like, I totally forgot about it until I saw that scene. I was like, oh, that's fucking Matt Damon is Loki. And they're just like doing. And just the fact you got Sam Neill to come, not the first time around with Sam Neill, but, you know, just like. We saw him not too long ago in the newest Jurassic Park, and that motherfucker looks good. And then you see him here, like, oh, I'm Odin, you know, and just like, dude, I know what's really underneath that beard.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? But it's like, that's like one of those ones where it's like, that works. That's like one of those ones, like, if it was any way else, that's like one of those ones that could be a train wreck of like, what are you doing?
One of the bits of the humor that kind of felt like an undercut of the moment to me, just because she's been gone for so long and then she suddenly comes back and it's just kind of like dismissed aside, especially since she was such a big part of the first two movies. Sif, when like they find Sif, and then like it's one thing to find her defeated without an arm, which is, oh, that's too bad, but then they make a joke right there like, oh, see you in Valhalla, like you have to die in battle to go to Valhalla, not just kind of bleed out to go to Valhalla. Like, oh shit, which that could be funny, but like, this character we haven't seen in how many years? And then, like, I mean, yeah. I know that she was apparently the reason she wasn't in Thor 3 is apparently back when it was still canon, she was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She became a cast member of that show, apparently. But at the same time, it's one of those things like, really? I mean, you know, at least she's not dead. At least she didn't get like the Warriors 3 treatment, you know?
Yeah. Well, because I thought that when she appeared, though, I was like, what? I thought she was dead. I thought that she got like literally like taken out of all the Warriors 3 and all that stuff, you know? But then it's like, yeah, she's sort of there. And it's like, that's one of those jokes that like, I will say, like, I kind of gave it, like, a slight bit of a pass. I'm like, well, it does sort of explain it to people who don't know that, yeah, you have to die in battle to go to Valhalla. You don't, because they call it, like, great dishonor. It's like, if you die, like, later on, it's like, I remember, like, in, like, the when you read, like, the Norse Bible and so on like that, they're like, no, God forbid you bleed out slowly on the battlefield once everybody's left. That is such a shameful death. You know, it's like, no, that you go and visit hell. It's like, it's one of those ones, like, if you get a death, like, where, like, you survive, you actually go to hell, which I think is kind of ironic. It's like, no, you little bitch.
But make like, your dad proud, son.
This is the one thing I thought, though, is, like, once I realized she was back, it's, like, one of those ones, like, she should have been part of the main party, I sort of felt. Like, I was like, what? If you have her there, what are you doing? That's Thor's real wife walking around there with no arm now. Like, what is she doing?
I felt like that was kind of a missed opportunity, too. I guess they did, maybe, like, a fifth person may have thrown off the chemistry or something. But at the exact same time, I was kind of like, it did seem, I mean, they show that she's training and she's still a badass, even with one arm. Maybe they'll do more with her. I'm assuming you don't bring her back unless you have plans for it down the line. So, because yeah, it could have just rid her out of it.
Now Thor can have his real wife now because they fixed that issue.
They fixed that issue, yeah. I mean, I guess the whole thing is, like you said, the movie's pretty straightforward. Gore, the God Butcher, comes in and kidnaps a bunch of kids, and he's using it as a way to go kill a bunch of gods at once. And I thought that for a minute I was a little bit kind of like, man, Christian Bale is killing it and you guys are barely utilizing him. But the thing is, it's kind of more of like a savored kind of couple of scenes. Like, he has a fantastic scene at the very beginning, which does not fit the tone of the rest of the movie.
Well, and then, the thing is, I will say, I give credit. The beginning of this movie, at least it doesn't start. It actually starts off and plays it pretty straight for the beginning and gets kind of like real dark. You know, and I do like that because it's not like Thor 3, once again, I hate to always keep bringing that up, but that one, like, its beginning was like, you just felt like, what the fuck am I watching here? Like, are they literally, is this just a big joke? Like, is Woody Allen going to come out on the side and break the fourth wall and let you in on something? Like, what's happening here?
But basically he has, like, a great long scene at the very beginning, then a little, like, small quick scenes throughout the movie, and then, like, the last act with him. And all that was fantastic. And I was kind of like, Christian Bale, because he's very picky. He doesn't need to do a Marvel movie. He's done with DC movies. Why is he going to go do a Marvel? There has to be something special that brought him back. And or maybe just like, hey, I'm at that point. I need a paycheck too. So, yeah, shave my head, throw some baby powder on me. We'll call it good.
You know, put me on an exclusive album in Walmart. I don't care.
Whatever it takes by this point. And, and, like, the thing is, though, like, because he played that character so good. That character.
Yeah.
The one thing is, like, that's probably, aside from Loki, that was probably the best villain in any Thor movie. And I'm like, it's fitting. Makes sense totally why and how you use him. But I'm a little sad we're not going to see more of him. Because he was, they basically make him the boogeyman. I don't know enough about Norse mythology. I'm assuming he's a made-up character for the movie or for the comics, I mean. But yeah, I could see they're trying to
he's not like, I don't think he's a Norse character. I at least don't remember that. I think he's because he's from the Shadow Realm kind of thing. And that, I mean, when I think of Shadow Realm, I actually think of X-Men, even though I know that's not probably where it came from. But, like, that's what comes to my mind first.
Yeah, and the whole thing with him is how he's been chosen. Like, he was forsaken by his god. And then he's like, I'm going to go kill all the gods because fuck them. They're all assholes. And that's a cool concept. And it works. And I was a little sad to see him go by the end of this movie, but they're trying to make him sort of like the boogeyman because he has the sword and kill a god. He also controls shadow monsters and all that kind of stuff. And he's also a guy stealing kids out of their cribs at night. So I'm like, this might be a throwback to some kind of like old Norse tale about careful kids of the shadow monsters or some shit like that.
Yeah. And for all I know, it could be something like that, you know, but I think the cool thing about like with his character too, that it is kind of a neat one, is that he starts off as like, he's like literally out in the desert dying with like his daughter and whatnot. They got, and he's like praying to like his god. And he's like the most devout, like religious person ever. And then it's like, his daughter dies, he's got to bury her. It's like real, like intense moments on like that. And then when he meets the god's just like, oh, your daughter died? Well, whatever. I'm a god. Suck my dick right now. Oh, well, you're not going to do it? Get the fuck out of here, you little bitch. You know what I mean? And then it's just like that one's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've been believing in you my whole life. Yeah, pretty fucking stupid this guy is. Come on, guys. Join in. And it's like, it's funny, but it's not like funny like a dumb joke. It's actually more like, I think it's just like a good moment. Like, oh, no, this guy's just a total douchebag of like a god. And it kind of gives a good reason, like, yeah, grab the fucking like necromancer sword and whatnot and just be like, well, you know what then? Fuck you. I don't believe in you anymore. And I'm going to stab you with the sword. And it's really like a really good guy, technically, just getting pushed over the edge and grabbing that, like, you know, death sword and then literally using that. And then it starts to, like, to become one with him that's like, no, no, now that you've killed one god, you go out and you kill them all because they're all a bunch of assholes.
And once he does that, he's like, well, he realizes, I think I can do it with all one swoop. I just need to get the Bifrost. And the way I get the Bifrost is by baiting Thor. So essentially that's the whole thing. That's why he kidnaps the kids. That way they're all going to go to the Shadow Realms where he can get the Bifrost, and that's his big long plan. But out of that, within that time, Jane Foster got cancer and none of her treatments seemed to be working. But the Mjolnir, his old hammer that broke, it like reformed and chose her. So it's kind of keeping her alive, but she's on borrowed time. And there's this thing that comes out in the movie later down the line where it keeps her strong, keeps her powerful. But the more she uses the hammer, she's actually progressing the cancer, actually.
Yeah, which I thought that I liked all that stuff there because it's one of those ones I don't think I've ever read a Lady Thor comic before or any of that stuff. But like, it's one of those ones that like I felt for like in the movie universe, it's like one of those ones like this actually works kind of cool. Because generally, I don't really like the Jane Foster character. I feel like that just gets in the way of like other stuff. But what I liked about like this character like thing here is that it gave it almost the old Thor kind of thing. Because, like, you know, the old Marvel Thor is that he's not technically Thor. He's just, you know, an old crippled guy who's just worthy enough to pick up the hammer. When he picks up the hammer, he gets the power. Well, that's the same way that Jane Foster is. And as I said, that probably happens in, like, the Lady Thor comics. I've just never read those before. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, shit, it's like old Thor style. I'm like, that's kind of cool. I think that's neat that they bring back that kind of concept. Because I think that's I always thought that was just kind of a cool way to sort of go about it. It feels like that's one of those ones, if you try to explain that to a kid nowadays, like what Thor was like back in the day, you'd be like, the fuck? He's just a weird crippled guy that walks around like a library and then like picks up a hammer and he gets superpowers? Like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool as someone who writes comics, right? No, that's fucking lame.
So are you, old man. Yeah. You start wheeling your chair down like close to a fleet of stairs.
Yeah, where's your cane so I can kick it out of your hand? You know, but I thought that like with the Lady Thor one, I'm like, that's actually a cool concept that she has that. And then, you know, Jane Foster grabs that. She gets the power, changes her, puts her strong. But in the process, it's just draining her and making her weaker and so on. Like, I thought all that stuff in there was pretty neat. And I think that the kind of the bring back that stuff together and the team up with them and Valkyrie and all that stuff, very cool.
Yeah, and that was all pretty good, too. And, like, I guess when you said there's not a lot really happens, that you just kind of go, kids get stolen, they go here, like, well, that's going to go well. That the meeting up with the gods and trying to get an army of gods didn't plan out, so...
I do like that scene where they go to the gods. It's kind of an interesting one, because I also like how they actually acknowledge Jesus is there.
Oh, there's God of Carpentry. They don't show him, but they just point off screen.
You know, because we made that joke back when Thor 1 came out or whatever. It's just like, just imagine that if instead of Christianity taking over the world, it would have been like Norse taking over the entire world. And instead you'd have Marvel's Jesus.
I think Jesus would have an interesting power set. They'd have to add some stuff. But I mean, he could fight with the spear that he was stabbed with, you know, use it like a bow staff and stab people with it. And, you know, like there could be this whole plot point where, you know, Jesus, he's one of the baddest. He's one of the best guys in the team. He can bring people back to life and all that. And then, like, at some point, you can kill Jesus, but he comes back in 3 days. So there's that
thing.
Like, we got to hold them off just one more hour before Jesus is back.
It's almost like Dragon Ball Z, where it's like, they're waiting to collect the Dragon Balls.
He looks up like, somebody order some fish.
Who's that walking across the water? Just it's like Jesus comes in. I mean, I kid you, I feel like Jesus inside, like just like treat him like that inside like any of the kind of Marvel or any, it could be any superhero thing. I think that just sounds like such a badass character.
Plus, he'd have one of the best villains, Satan.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but that's the thing. But I think it's kind of funny that they actually at least acknowledged it, like, in here, when they go, like, the area where it's just, like, literally all the gods of any god ever, like, thought of, created, and whatnot, all lives in this one kind of realm now.
I know it's kind of like adult swimming kind of humor, but there's like, oh, look, there's the god of Bo. This little, like, cartoon, like, Bo thing with a cartoon. Like, sometimes that kind of shit works, you know?
And, yeah, I mean, that's not, like, so much that, like, it takes you two out of it, you know what I mean? You know?
Russell Crowe was playing it like he actually had a Greek accent. He wasn't doing the British accent that they always do whenever they're playing a god.
Yeah. Well, it's also, too, I like that he kind of plays it literally like old school, like Greek, too. It's like, because I thought, like, at first, like, okay, it's Disney. They're going to tone it down. You know what I mean? Because, you know, that's literally, Zeus is the guy's like, he goes out, he bangs everybody, doesn't give a fuck, has kids all over the planet, doesn't fucking take care of them that much, but that's okay. Once in a while, he sends a little care package to him. You know, comes down, gives Hercules a high five, tells him what's up.
Turns into a bull, goes fuck something, goes back to Mount Olympus.
Yeah, exactly.
See you in my 9 months, or never.
Yeah, that's like almost in a sense, Zeus is like old school bro god, in a sense, is what he really is at the end of the day. You know, and it's like one of those ones, nowadays, like that god is not really accepted in, you know, normal like culture, it seems like, anymore. But I like how actually in this one, they just said, no, he's planning an orgy for later. He's got a bunch of ladies hanging around him and whatnot. He's going full Zeus. He's doing it. Nobody gives a fuck. Zeus doesn't give a fuck.
Well, yeah, that was also one of those things with him. Like, I appreciate, because I feel like, not all the time, but not even half the time. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I see him like, you know, like there's the Disney Hercules where I'm just a good old powerful guy who's also your dad's son. Don't worry. And like, Zeus is a fucking raging asshole all the time. And then, you know, and then you had like Clash of the Titans where he starts off as an asshole and then he comes in like, I'm sorry, that was fucked up, you know? So they'll usually be he's an asshole who learns his lesson. This, like,
yeah,
no, fuck him, he's a prick.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There was a moment there with, like when Thor was like, oh, you know, he's my, like, my idol and something like that. And I was almost, like, going that thing, like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, one, I think Thor is technically older than Zeus at the end of the day. And two, it's, like, one of those ones, like, there's sort of a conflicting thing between Norse and, you know, almost, like, Greek stuff. It's kind of, like, a weird one. I know that's going, like, way back in ancient times, but, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I just thought it was cool how he, because, you know, I knew they were going to bring up something like, you know, both gods of thunder. And then he's like, yeah, he's so cool. And he's actually seeing him for the first time. Like, oh, he's kind of an asshole, you know? So it's like this whole thing of like, it was looking like this guy's, you model yourself after this guy. He's like, well, yeah, I like some of his stuff. I mean, he had some good ideas back in the day.
Yeah, you know, I will say there's also some other things, because this movie does actually do some ballsy things that, like, I would not, once again, not expect from a Disney movie. Like, they try some stuff in this one. Like, because even at that part, like, one, when they mentioned the origin, they mentioned it multiple times. I'm like, that's kind of ballsy for a Disney movie. I mean, like, when was the last time you know, were watching one and they mentioned that? But two, they even do, like, the thing where, like, when Zeus brings him up and he rips off all of Thor's clothes and he's just standing there and all the ladies fall over. And it's like, wow, that's actually, once again, for a Disney movie, that's really fucking ballsy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think they'd even do that in a Pirates of the Caribbean movie if, like, you had Johnny Depp and he just got all his clothes ripped off and a bunch of lip. That sounds like some weird, like, you need, okay, ladies, who wants to get signed up? We're going to have this scene where Johnny Depp's being tied up with a rope as Jack Sparrow above, and you guys have to come in and molest him. that line would be fucking out the door, be out the state practically.
I thought if I got here at 6 in the morning, I'd get in there for sure, but here I am at the state
line. And Johnny Depp says, like, we're going to CG this one, right?
Go ahead, Joe. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, but it's like, in this one, too, I was like, whoa, it's like, they're going ballsy with this. They're just literally going to, you know, they got some, like, jokes like that. And then also, the other thing, too, is they say shit a lot in this movie. And, you know, in any other movie, you wouldn't think of it, but when I keep going, like, with the fucking Disney mouse behind there, you're like, that's a lot of shits for one Disney movie.
Here's the thing. Well, they flat out said that when they plan on making, they are making Deadpool 3. They are making it. And yeah, when they do make it, they are making it R. So they are doing this thing where I think as long as it doesn't have the Disney logo and that castle at the very beginning, as long as it stays with the PG-13 realm, do whatever you want. It's basically the way they're going about it. And there's even the part where, like, because that whole part, like, I was like, until the post-credits, I'm like, oh, shit, he just killed Zeus up until the post-credit thing. So,
yeah.
But, like, that whole part, like, even though that's more of a kind of a comical scene, just that idea of, like, okay, well, we need to establish, like, cause, you know, you see, I don't even know who they all are. If you could spot them, like, okay, that's obviously this Hindu god or that god. Like, things I've seen, maybe can't name off the top of my head. Though it's interesting because, you know, every so often you're like, okay, is everything sci-fi or is it everything magic or what is it? And this brings it all together. Like, oh, this is where they all meet. So it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's sci-fi, it's magic, it's science, it's all that kind of stuff in one and so on. And probably what it is also, too, if just like this, is probably I bet you these movies are going to get to Deadpool 3. They're probably going to each one's going to stair step up almost the way that like the DCU like animated movies kind of are, where it's like, we'll add one more into it, one more extra violence, one more extra nipple, one more extra, you know what I mean? Like, just keep doing that.
It's like, hey, I know we got an R rating, but they said only one nip. So it's got to be a quick turn shot, all right? They're very serious. Like, it's already rated R. One nip!
Yeah. Well, this one gets a stare. You get Chris Hemsworth, like, naked butt cheeks in there.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
You know what I mean?
It's all at the same time, though. I always never say, like, brief nudity. What's in it? An ass? Like, well, it's, all right. You know?
Was it a donkey or an actual ass? Like, both?
Well, that's in there, too, yeah. Well, I mean, well, I don't know. So, I'll be honest, yeah, some asses are nicer to look at than others, but at the same time, I'm like, everyone has one. If they were showing the real Thor's hammer, they're like, all right, yeah, throw nudity on there, on the parental warning thing. But I'm like, okay, whatever. But at the exact same time, I will say that, I mean, this happens a lot whenever you talk about a movie. The more we're talking about it, I'm liking it a little bit more. There still are some of those little things here and there. Like, you probably could have cut back on the comedy here and there. One of the jokes that actually, they did it a lot, but I actually still found it funny and enjoyed it. Makes, I'm just a simpleton, but those goats just like walking in and just screaming. And sometimes you wouldn't even be, even though you know they're there, like they land somewhere, you don't even see them, you just hear them off screen just screaming. Like, I know it was stupid, it was unnecessary, but I like the goats. What can I say?
I was afraid that they were going to run that a little bit too long with it, and it does go a while, but it wasn't that one never felt the run too hard. It wasn't as bad as some of the other kind of, like, it wasn't like some of those other like kind of dumb jokes. Like, you know, there one of the kind of stuck out to me. I thought it was kind of one of those ones was a dumb one. Was like when you had Valkyrie shows up to like Lady Thor's room, and this right when like Jane Foster's kind of realized that, like, oh shit, like I'm like dying here on the inside, and she smashes that sink and everything like that. And then she goes like, okay, you ready? You got your weapons? And they're like, going weapons. It's like, what's that, a hand grenade? Like, no, it's like a little beatbox or a little boombox. And it's like,
she's playing that, like, Mary J. Blige.
Yeah. And you're like, well, it's like, what the fuck? Like, I hate to start saying it. I know why that joke's in there. That joke's in there for the non-comic book fans who go like, oh, I like that song. Come on, kids, let's get up and dance. And it's like, but I feel like everybody who's there for the comic book, you're like, Jesus, no, don't do that. What are you doing?
Well, that's one of Ava's favorite artists, so she was like, oh, cool.
Dude, that's what I mean. Is the non-comic book fans are like, hey, come on, let's get up and dance, everybody. And it's like, everybody else is like, no dancing, please. Oh, God.
It was a quick in and out kind of scene, but no, I get what you mean. That was a very quick in and out one, though.
You know, but that's, I mean, there's just like, there's a handful of those ones there. I mean, as I said, like, the thing is, when the movie does good, it does good. That's what I think about it. Like, when it has cool action, it's got cool action. When it's got good scenes, it's got cool, interesting scenes, you know. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, yes, there is the dumb jokes. But then there's just like, I don't know, I just felt like it kind of is maybe just sort of simple. Like, in a sense, I guess the same way that I almost felt about with sort of a couple of like the last like Marvel movies, where it's like they're just kind of like, almost like the way Doctor Strange was. Like, it's like, I felt like there could have been more going on.
Well, I guess, how do I put this? Because I guess you can't just talk about one Marvel movie. You got to compare it to everything else. That's the weird
thing. Yeah, they kind of come in a package deal, I guess.
I guess the thing with, I was looking more forward to Doctor Strange than I was this. and I'm not even a huge Doctor Strange fan. I like Doctor Strange enough. I just, mm-hmm. it's more of just the concept of like some frantic horror movie where he's jumping from fucked up universe to fucked up universe. But it's like, it was very chill, very kind of not very super chill, but like a tone back, like, okay, we jump over to one weird universe. We see a fucked up Illuminati version of everybody for a minute. We're like, oh, look, it's this guy, is that guy, and oh, Jim Krasinski, and oh, okay, cool, whatever. And then on to the next fucked up universe, and then mm-hmm. we're at the end of the movie. So I don't know. I guess I just had this, when you have a name like the Multiverse of Madness, I'm imagining this really frantic, like, we're going from bad to worse every time we go into another room. But it was just like, bear with us. We're figuring this out. Okay, just like, yeah, it's fucked up. That's fucked up. And it's solved. Okay, cool. Where this is kind of what I assumed it would be. And even with this, it was still more focused than, say, even though Multiverse of Madness wasn't that crazy or that mad, this seemed more focused and knew what it was and wasn't just laying more foreground for movies. Cause I guess that's my big problem with Phase 4 is people are saying it seems directionless. I'm sure it's all going to connect. Yeah. It's all going to connect. And they said something that Phase 4 is going to be the phase where this is our chill out zone. We just got done with the Endgame. So we're just chill. We're presenting new characters and moving older characters forward in some aspects. And we're also presenting the multiverse. So we're just taking this one easy. There's not going to be a big Endgame style movie at the end of this phase. However, though, they keep on bringing up all these different plot points and all this multiverse shit that doesn't seem to really connect yet. I mean, they already had Loki, they had Doctor Strange, they had Spider-Man, and there's hardly any connection in any of those. So, so it was nice just to watch a movie that did not have to mention the blip. Did not have to, like, it was pulling from old movies and referencing things that happened, but it was just focused on Thor, and he didn't, and yeah, sure, the Guardians are there for a second, but it wasn't like this whole thing that was baiting on, like, oh, can't wait to see him in the Avengers, oh, can't wait to see this in whatever five movies down the line.
Yeah, no, well, and that's the thing, is I definitely give it credit for sticking to being pretty much a Thor movie. And kind of just being sort of like it's its own kind of bottle film. It's not having to like build up. I mean, of course, you get kind of towards the end, it's going to do the thing because, you know, in the post credits, spoilers or whatever, you know, Zeus comes back to life and he's like, yo, son, go out there and fuck some gods up. And then Hercules comes in there, which what I really feel like what that is like, I feel like that's Marvel going, fuck you, Wonder Woman. You're not going to be able to get these characters in there before we do. I feel like that's totally what they're doing. It's like Marvel doesn't need to pull from the Greek universe. I mean, I know that stuff's all in there too, just like that. But like, I feel like they're like, how many characters can we get out of the way for Wonder Woman? You know what I mean?
I, in all honesty, would not be the least bit surprised. Well, who knows what's going on at DC? That's a whole other topic. Yeah. They got bought by Discovery and all the shit with Ezra Miller. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen with their connection, if there is any connection left. I actually, and I have not read or looked anything up. This is just pure assumption, I don't think Hercules is getting his own movie. Not yet. I think he's going to pop in other people's movies.
I couldn't imagine. I mean, maybe he is getting that, but I wasn't thinking that. I'm thinking he's just going to be, in a sense, the next Thor villain for whatever the hell Thor is doing next, whether that be a Thor movie and or if it's just a Thor in somebody else's movie or it's an Avengers movie even.
Well, I think in the comics, Hercules and Thor, like Marvel Hercules, does and Thor do have a rivalry, just like Hulk. Like, it's all, I like the rivalries, like, because, you know, like Hulk and Hercules have a rivalry too. So I think that could be pretty cool in that aspect. And it's even the guy, it's like the I don't remember the character or the actor's name, but it's like the actor from Ted Lasso, who's just always like just the angry, gruff old player on the team. Like, oh shit, that guy got jacked for this movie. I mean, he's already in good shape, but you know.
Yeah, anyway. When you play Hercules, I mean, you got a lot of people you're kind of going against. I mean, that's a Steve Reeves classic character right there.
Well, it's funny because that guy, I'm not going to go into a whole Ted Lasso thing here, but that guy, he was a writer on Ted Lasso. And he's like, I love this character, but I don't know if anybody's going to portray him the way I want them to portray him. Like, why don't you go and audition for your own character? Like, are you sure? Like, yeah, just go on an audition for your own character. Give it a shot. Like, okay, you got it. Holy shit, I gotta go to the gym. So now a fucking writer who rolled the dice is now playing Hercules.
Yeah. It's funny how that always kind of goes like there. Sell one. As I said, yeah, that's a big one. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger played Hercules. You know what I mean? You got a lot to work with there.
Well, and also another reason why I don't think they might be doing a Marvel Hercules is because Disney's talking about they're doing their live action remake of Hercules. So,
God.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Fucking Disney. It's one of those ones. You know
they're good at the cartoons.
They're good at the old cartoons, you know. But
I think majority of their new cartoons are pretty good. Majority of them, what I've seen. But it was Pirates of the Caribbean 1 came out. Like, okay, it's a Disney movie. Keep the name off it. Don't flash it. It's PG-13. Don't fucking tell nobody. Just get it out. They're trying Johnny Depp, not popular anymore. Let's see what the fuck happens. I don't know. It just seemed a good idea at the time. We're all going to lose our fucking jobs on this shit. I fucking know. It's so fucking
stupid. Legolas better cover us here. You know what I mean? We're going to get some of that Lord of the Rings money rolling in.
We're all so oh shit, here comes the mouse. He's walking back. So, you all thought it was a good idea to put a PG-13 movie on the Disney fucking logo. It's at the very bottom. Shut the fuck up! This thing doesn't go good. You're all fucking dead. You're your whole fucking family. You know, just has that whole thing, and then it's just like, and then the movie comes out like, oh my god, people love this movie. This movie's
does gangbusters.
This is a fucking great movie. Holy shit. Holy shit. Disney can do a PG-13 action movie, and like, oh, that was just a one-time thing. It really panned out. Beyond that, we're not so good at PG-13 action movies unless it's like just the studio we bought.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I'm just wondering,
I was like, oh, Mulan, that might be good. I'm like, well, I'm thinking.
That one was such a disappointment. That should have been amazing. Well, the downfall is it feels like Disney, like on all those, every single one of their musical ones. I know we're kind of getting off topic of Thor here, but still, I guess, in the Disney realm in a weird way. I hate to say it like that. So at the end of the day, it still always sort of bothers me that Disney is tied in with Marvel. It's like, it just feels like the thing that you really liked as like a kid, and then somebody comes in and just like, sort of like, you're like, what? No, that guy's a part of it. No. But like, and it's not to say that Disney doesn't make good movies. You know, I'm not denying that there is a lot of good Disney movies out there, especially old ones too, you know, but there's just like, there's that Disney kind of niss to it and so on. And that's the thing. It's like all these ones, it's like, okay, like the Mulan, that should have been awesome. Like, why was that not awesome? And it's like, it feels like the budgets always feel so cheap on those movies. Like, it was the same way that like even Aladdin, even though I like the Aladdin one more than I like the other ones in a weird way, but it felt like the movie felt like such, like it should have been like a straight to Disney Plus thing. It did not feel like that was a theatrical movie. It felt like they really cut the budget somewhere.
They learned that, like, here's a trailer to Pinocchio. Like, you're doing Pinocchio. Tom Hanks is Pinocchio. Okay. And then it just like, to Disney Plus. Like, okay, that's fitting. All right. they read the room on that one. But it's one of those things where, yeah, because there's that period where they're trying to do like big action movies for a while because they had good luck. They had good luck with Pirates. And then after that, it was just like, yeah, this didn't pan out. Unless it's Marvel or Star Wars, is kind of hit and miss by this point. But
exactly.
Majority of the shows are pretty good right now. But yeah, as far as this goes, I mean, overall, I thought it was, I mean, I'll say another thing that kind of, one of the ballsier things is I was surprised. I say it's ballsy, but then there's an end credit scene that very well just might undercut it. They kill off Jane Foster, and they make it an emotional, serious scene. I was like, oh shit, this got fucking real. I wasn't expecting that. I thought they were preparing to make her the new Thor and Chris Hemsworth the exit, but no, it's Jane Foster. And then she, you see her at Valhalla at the end, which is cool and all, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, I don't want that to undercut. Like, are they gonna go to Valhalla a lot? Is there something else going on? Like, can they leave Valhalla, or do they just have to stay in Valhalla, you know?
I mean, for a Norse thing, it made sense because she died in battle. She goes to Valhalla. It gives
Heimdall.
Heimdall. It gives him another kind of scene there. I feel like as long as you leave it at that, but it does sort of leave that weird because it's
we got work to do.
Yeah, well, and no matter what, it's because, you know, the way that these Marvel movies sort of go and everything like that, too, is that, like, anything's sort of possible, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes that's always even the downfall of the comic books in general, is because if people keep writing it in there, you know, next thing you know, too many things can happen. And then there's that point where it's like, oh, well, we got to come back a bit. You guys have gone way too far. You know what I mean? It happens in all superhero stuff. At some point, they just go so far that, like, next thing you know, it's just like, yo, Superman just fucking time traveling, like, on his lunch breaks. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you got to be some effort put into that. You can't just be like, hey, by the way, Lois, I'll be back. I'm going to the 1800s.
All right. Don't forget your lunch. It's also one of those things of where it's like, you're kind of wondering like, shit, where is it going with this? It's kind of like, you don't want, like, how often do you think somebody writes like this meaningful death, this meaningful scene, and then just like the next writer of the book comes on like, yeah, he's bringing back to life. I got a plot idea I want to run through with this. You know how often that shit happens? So I'm wondering how often that's going to happen with this. Because if it was just like, oh, you're in Valhalla, congratulations. But then it just like, come with me. We have work to do. It holds on her like, you know? So it's like, you know, yeah, I hope they don't just make it meaningful, you know?
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's sort of like, I don't know, you make death not seem like it's a big deal if people can always keep coming back to life and things like that. Like, that's something that, like, it doesn't make it as impactful the second that people keep getting revived left and right.
I'll say it's also, it seems kind of like a little bit of a detriment and a curse, but the whole multiverse thing, because in Endgame, they explain that, like, oh, you know, they've already addressed by the multiple movies now. There's multiple universes and timelines and all this, but, It makes sense that you can, like, you know, kill off Robert Downey Jr. and you can grab another Tony Stark in the original Tony Stark that we watched. His timeline or his story isn't cheapened or anything like that, because this is like a younger 20-something Tony Stark. So that in that aspect, it could work. Another aspect, though, it's just like, well, I mean, if this character dies, does that mean they could just pull out, like, I don't know, like, oh, well, I died, but not really. We just went over to this universe, grabbed another one, so to fit into the suit. You know, I guess it kind of go either way with that.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, I get it. Like, if you want to keep the movies going and keep the characters going, like, how do you pull out, like, a different variation? Also, it gives, like, the nice thing that you can get, like, a different variant, or, like, you can get one more closer to the original source material, all that kind of stuff there, by having that multiverse. But I feel with, like, the Jane Foster one, I hope that that's just kind of it. Because I feel like that character was, like, perfect in this. Totally badass. Totally awesome the whole way through. And, yeah, I just think that's just a nice place to leave. It makes it more impactful if you kind of do that and be like, okay, that's it. And Thor has to move on. Plus, then it leaves up. Now, Lady Sif actually has her final chance that she's been waiting on for.
Yeah, I hope they do something with her. Because I'll say that, like, as far as the movies, I'm still looking forward to the movies, and I overall like the Marvel shows, but I've been keeping up with them, and I'm kind of like, it's at the point where, like, oh, a new Disney Plus show, cool. But now it's at the point like, oh, fuck, there's another one? The one just came out last month? Okay, I guess there's another one. Yeah.
So oh, yeah, now it's like... Now there's Ms. Marvel.
That's not bad. I mean, I'm enjoying it, but at the same time, it's also kind of like, it feels a little cheaper than other stuff. Like when Falcon and Winter Soldier came out, like, this might as well just be like a 6-hour Marvel movie. It has that level of, like, you know, like, of production and this and that. And then you watch this one and just like, it's good, but it's also kind of like, this feels like a streaming show, you know?
Yeah, well, that's always the downfall of TV, is TV always just feels like it's like, there's definitely some, like, you know, corners cut for sure, that you just don't get the same way, like, in a movie.
Which was going to lead me to say another thing with the Marvel fatigue thing is in Hawkeye, and I would say spoilers, but you're never going to watch it.
I still haven't got around to it. I feel so bad. It's Hawkeye. If it was a movie, I would have saw it in 2 seconds, but, you know.
Hawkeye, the character from Daredevil, Echo, is introduced. And,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could have been, but
wait till, yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's not like, oh, like, ew, she's deaf, she's lame, like that. I mean, the concept of the character's cool, but it's one of those things where you have a character, they try so hard to make this character badass, but all she does the whole time is just like sneer,
mean,
and like
mean mug in the camera.
She just mean mugs the whole fucking time, and that's all. And like, she has a sad scene where her dad dies, and that's all she has the whole time. She's like just mean mug and everything. So just like, she's a badass independent woman. Like in the comic, she is. Right here, she's just like just fucking mean mug and everything, and it gets fucking old. And like, we're giving Echo her own show. I'm like,
no, don't do that.
Give the new Black Widow her own show before. Like, I mean, Echo could have her own show, but I mean, the way they do her, it's just one of those things. Like, anytime a character pops up now, I'm kind of like, are they going to give them her own show? Are they going to get a new movie? What are they doing with this character? It's not, you know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things, like too much at once, kind of, you know?
Yeah, well, you don't want to. That was like the DC problem that they had with their TV shows, is that they started doing way too many of them. And remember, it's like once it's like you can kind of keep up with one or two shows, but the second that they start having like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shows, you're like, oh, okay, sorry, I'm out of here. Jumping ship, you know what I mean? It's like one's like, I remember because, you know, I start off the Arrowverse, and you know, Arrow started off and it paved the way, and it took a handful of seasons for it to get kind of dialed in, but once it did good, and then it brought Flash, and then it brought all the other ones. And the next thing you know, there was just way too many of them. Like, you know, you start adding Supergirl, and you start having, you had Gotham, and then you had, you know, whatever the heck the other one was, but it was like the spinoff of Flash and all that stuff. But
oh, the
Batwoman. Then you had, God, there's just so many of them. It just like
got to the point where it's just Tomorrow or some shit.
Yeah, that one. It's just like, it's not that they're not cool. It's just what one's like, dude, there's just not enough time in the day for, you know, who, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those ones, unless that's the only thing you watch. Because that's always my thing of TV, is TV just takes up so much time. You know, like a movie is like one done. You go watch a movie 2 hours, bada bing, bada boom, boom, you're good to go. It's like you wait another like 5 months and then another one comes out. Cool. But like a TV show, they keep giving them out to you. And, you know, the TV shows, you know, 10 plus hours each, you know, and you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And shows are like, they're getting to the point now where like they have to make them all like an hour plus long, like episodes. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like 40 minutes was already too long. Like,
well, to keep it still in Disney, not Thor, but still Disney, like the Obi-Wan show, I liked that show. I thought it was good. I thought it started off stronger than it ended, but that said, it was still a good show. And there is a character though they bring into it, and a lot of people are giving this character shit. I didn't mind the character. But we're literally at that point where I don't know if I can watch something and just think, like, this is a side character. Okay, cool. That's their story. Their story's concluded. I can't do that anymore. Now I immediately see this character, like, are they popping up in someone else's show, someone else's movie, like, in a year? Or are they getting their own show? Like, what's real? You know what I mean?
Were they prepping?
Like, can things just be contained? I understand that these are money machines. They got to keep pushing them out. They got to still, people got jobs. I get that. But at the same time, at some point, I feel like not everything has to be connected. Not every character needs a movie. You know, there's a funny joke in BoJack Horseman where somebody says, like, because, you know, it's about people in the film industry. And they're like, we're going to release it on this weekend. Like, we can't release it on that weekend. Why? Well, that's when the movie about the ticket booth clerk who worked at the ticket booth clerk who saw Batman's parents get shot. That's that movie about him's coming out, you know? So, like, it was like, that's very fucking true.
Yep. It's like one of those ones. Like, well, it's the one thing I miss from the olden days. And she's like, oh, now on the Old Man Orange podcast, we'll remind you of what it was like in the golden years. But like, it was just the fact that, like, remember when there was just like a movie and that was just sort of it sometimes? Like, don't run. I'm somebody who loves to live in daylights out of sequels. Like, I'll take 1,000 sequels. Give me more Lethal Weapons. I am there. But it's one of those ones. There's something kind of nice when it's just like a one and done. Or like, even if you are going to have multiple ones, it's the 007 thing. 007 was better when there's just literally like, they're not continual. They're just, here's a Bond movie. He's on an adventure. Maybe there might be a slight character connection or whatever, but the, you know, you can literally come into any of those old Bond movies. Doesn't matter which one you start with. You're going to understand what's going on, but they all kind of stack together nicely too, to kind of add up to them, you know, instead of doing the thing that like almost like the Daniel Craig movies did, which, don't get me wrong, I still like those ones. But you know, if you jumped into like the fourth or fifth one of those, you'd be like, what the hell is going on now? You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't see 1, 2, or 3, it's like, I feel like there's something, like, it's nice when things are more contained. It's just like, here's this one. And what I sort of like about it is, like, I just like the thing of, like, being able to do, like, it would be fun. Like, this is the downfall. Marvel's always sort of gotten sort of stuck in, like, everything connects, everything's continual, everything's this, which it's like, well, okay, don't be wrong, there's a time and a place for that, but it's kind of nice to be able to do the thing where it's be like, here's one Thor movie, has nothing to do with any of the other Thor stuff. You just know who Thor is, right? Yeah, okay, here we go. He's going on an adventure. Here's his own take on this. It's an own kind of alternate thing. Don't worry about it. It's not connected to anything else. It's just one grand adventure. Or, you know, Batman's the perfect example for that. We have so many different variations of Batman in the comics, cartoons, and so on. It'd be kind of nice to be like, there's one Batman. It doesn't have to continue. It's just a standalone Batman story. Like, literally the same way they do, like, the DCU, like, animated movies. Or some of them, at least.
No, that's a good point. Well, it is one of those things where it's kind of like, I honestly feel like that eventually the MCU is going to buckle under its own weight. Eventually, like, I don't think it's going to come crashing down and burning and like no superhero movies ever be made again. But I feel like in time,
the great superhero disaster of 2027.
Yeah, exactly. In time, one of two things are going to happen. These movies will make money, but they slowly start to make less and less money, and they start to just, rather than like releasing like what it's sometimes like 3 to 4 movies a year, they release maybe like 1 or 2, you know. Or they realize that, like, yo, we've been plowing through a lot of our best stories and we don't want to retread everything just yet, so what if we hit the reset button and we end it with a big kind of like end game style event where we save the universe, but we just have to hit the reset button and go from scratch. And instead of starting off with Iron Man, we'll start off with a different group of characters. I think that's why they're taking their sweet fucking time to get to the X-Men, because X-Men, I think that's going to become, for a period of time, Avengers, one form or another, will be back. But I think they want to treat the X-Men probably is their next Avengers. And if I had to guess, I could be totally wrong here. If I had to guess, they're probably going to pop up individually in other people's movies and then their own movie. That's my guess, yeah. But I could be totally wrong on that.
Well, that's what I feel. I feel like it's definitely, they're going to milk it. And I'm not saying that that's not a bad thing. You know what I mean? But I think it's kind of nice just to have like a more subtle period where you just kind of release movies. You don't think too hard on them. It's just, hey, here's another one. Come see it. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, is because by now having X-Men, Fantastic Four, all that kind of stuff, you got characters that are technically bigger than the Avengers. Like, it's one of those ones, like, you don't really think about it, but, like, in a sense, X-Men and Spider-Man were always, like, you know, the biggest part of Marvel forever. It wasn't until the movies kind of came out that the Avengers actually became, like, such a humongous part. The Avengers mostly almost like, hey, have you read enough Spider-Man and, you know, X-Men and all that stuff? Well, come on by and grab an Avengers book now. I know it's not what you're used to. It's not mutants. You know what I mean? They're not little rascal teenagers or anything like that. No. It's adults. It's men. It's World War II. It's Norse mythology. It's a guy who has an alcoholic problem, but, you know, also sold, you know, war stuff back in the day. But it's okay. He's cool now. Come on by.
There's also an ant.
Yeah, there's also an ant, if you so care.
Not like a woman ant, but, like, I mean, like, well, there's a woman ant in there. Yeah, she shrinks and goes big. She's not called ant. I'm making it more complicated. I apologize. But, yeah.
Yeah, she's called the wasp, you know. Not really necessarily an ant, but a wasp, you know. But
someone get this motherfucker some media.
But, yeah. You know, but the thing is, like, they really actually have, it's almost like, in a sense, like, if you thought that, like, Marvel was kind of, like, they kind of, you know, blew their load away, it's like, well, not really. They actually literally have the Holy Grail, or not, but whatever is coming up, is having the X-Men. Because the X-Men is almost a bigger universe than all the other Marvel stuff combined, just about. Like, there's so much shit going on in the X-Men that you can go on for days just in X-Men alone. That's always my kind of thing about when they want to combine the X-Men with the rest of the Marvel stuff, is that I feel like the X-Men's so big and so diverse as is. Like, the downfall when you combine it together is I feel like you're only going to use, like, 10 or 15 main characters, and then, like, all these other 550, like, X-Men characters, because they're like Pokemon, practically, like, are never going to see the light of day.
Well, they already did that with the movies. They were just focused on X-Men characters. I do think it was interesting. There was this period in time where they were going to have, to prepare to go against Avengers, Fox, they canceled this movie, but they're going to do their own Fox version of Avengers, essentially, which was going to be Fantastic Four, Daredevil, and the X-Men. and yeah. it's going to be, they're basically going to take plot points from Civil War, but just condense it to those characters. And then I don't remember what happened, but at some point, like, no, we can't do that. And they made X-Men Apocalypse instead. So, but it's one of those things where they got longevity. They got more to do. I think we could just slow back on some of the streaming shows and maybe not make everything. You could still connect. But the thing is, they keep on bringing up the thing about Phase 4 is, yeah, sure, Shang-Chi was kind of self-contained, so was Black Widow. But a lot of the stuff seems to be presenting these bigger things, and we don't see how they connect yet. And it's been like, I don't know, I guess we just saw the connections happening a little faster before. And right now it's like, okay, we keep on with the multiverse, yet we have like three different things that cover the multiverse, and none of them connect really. I mean, yeah, Doctor Strange and Spider-Man and Multiverse of Madness, but there's no real... I thought the shit from Spider-Man was going to have an effect in Multiverse of Madness, but it didn't.
It really didn't. Yeah. So, well, it's one of those ones. I think it's all going to come together with a little bit of a Fantastic Four kind of like is going to be the center of that part.
I think they're going to do something like the Fantastic Four, like one of two things, like either the Fantastic Four from like the MCU, they got stuck in a parallel universe or something and they're coming back to the MCU, mm-hmm. or we see like this, their universe just get destroyed in the 60s and they come back into the MCU, because I'm not sure if it's a joke or I'm not sure if he just chose a weird word, but he said like Reed Richards, the Fantastic Four. And then he's like, didn't you guys chart in the 60s? So I wasn't sure if he was making a joke about like a band from the 60s or what, or if he just really meant like, oh, you were you guys from the 60s or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That's one of those. I feel like you made that. It probably was like a dumb joke of like about like a, almost like a four piece band, whatever, like a barbershop quartet. And you made it feel like, oh shit, wait a second, like I think I see it deeper there, you know. Probably was just some guy just like, oh, it's a throwaway joke, whatever. But like, I feel like that is a cool idea though. It's just to change it up, because that's the thing you sort of need, is like, once again, the downfall is once you have these continual stories is you're stuck always in the same time frame, all this stuff. But if you can pull some characters, or even pull them from the 50s, pull them from like when the Fantastic Four really came out and so on like that, and give it that very like old school, like super sci-fi, very like mystery kind of feel to it, maybe even Twilight Zone-y. I think that would actually be kind of a neat way to kind of go about with the Fantastic Four, because that's sort of what they need to do, is they just need to kind of break some of the mold up a little bit of like the kind of the formula they sort of have going. That's the only downfall, is I feel like because it's in like one, it's like it's kind of all stuck in this sort of style that's sort of meshed together as these movies have kind of come on. Like they started off serious, then they start getting kind of comedy, and then it's kind of come together where it's sort of comic booky, it's sort of serious, it's sort of like cartoony, or not cartoony, but like a, you know, comedy, whatever, sitcom-y almost even. And it's this kind of like hodgepodge of like what's kind of mixed together from each one sort of thing. But it's almost like it needs something to sort of break that up and be like, I mean, Eternals was kind of trying to do that. It just didn't do it as interesting as it should have been. Like, Eternals was taken a little bit more serious. It's just the movie itself is just, it's okay.
Well, it just had too many plot points happening at the same time. And it was like, I don't know. I didn't really give a fuck about very many of the characters in that movie. And like one of the few characters I liked by the end of the movie, I mean, I didn't totally hate or dislike any of the characters really, but my favorite character ended up being like, you know, because there is Kumail Nanjiani, who was like, okay, he's kind of the funny guy of the group, but he's not like being too over the top and too funny. He's like the one who like got himself kind of situated and he became an actor, and he's like, hey, I'm an immortal, might as well enjoy it, right? I thought, okay, this guy, he's cool, he's kind of funny. At the very end, he's like, hey guys, I know some end of the world shit's gonna happen, but I can't go against like Sky Daddy, so I gotta go, bye. And then like just pussed out right before the fucking final battle, and then he's there at the end like, hey guys, how'd the final battle go? Just like, why are they still talking to you? Get the fuck out of here, dude, you know? So it's just that kind of thing. But at the same time, like I think they learned from Eternals, because usually like the way it usually goes, with the exception of Thor, it's like three standalone movies and then they pop up in a bunch of other movies. I think Eternals, like, make him one Eternals, and they could pop up in other movies. Maybe. We'll see.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All I was saying with Eternals is I felt like that one, the only nice thing is the tone in that movie. Even though it did have some comedy in it, it felt like it was brought down a little bit in that one. You know, yeah. it was taken a little bit more serious.
Well, it's also something, it's a weirder, it's kind of, it was Jack Kirby's spiritual successor to New Gods, because he was like, hey, come over here to DC, we'll let you do whatever the fuck you want. Like, really? Really? Okay, cool. All right, Mr. Miracle, New Gods, all this shit, like, Fourth World? What the fuck is this? And why does everybody look like a fucking box? You said I could do whatever I want. Well, we didn't know you're gonna do this shit. Like, all right, fuck you guys. I was doing Jimmy Olsen too, but you know, fuck off. I'm gonna go back to Marvel. And then he's like, well, here's a spiritual successor to New Gods over here. So I was kind of like, well, this is the closest thing we can do a New Gods movie anytime soon, even though I know nothing about Eternals. Let's see what this is all about.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's like, I'm gonna make it no matter what. You know, but yeah, I look kind of forward, because I think, isn't the next one supposed to be Black Panther 2 that, like, one has had no trailers for or anything?
When's that coming out?
It literally says that's coming out this year. But it's like, one of those ones, like, in a sense, like, because even with this movie, it was kind of funny, because mostly you go to see a Marvel movie and there's always a trailer for the next one coming up. And instead there's a Black Adam trailer. It's just like, just like, Warner Bros. Like, yeah, the fucking way, Mouse.
Well, shit. I don't know we'll know a better idea when the trailer comes out, and they're being super secretive about that one. But I'm also like, I would be like, yeah, Black Panther 2, let's make it happen. But the only thing that has me a little like, is they said multiple times, and who knows, maybe it's a bait and switch, but they said multiple times they're making it without T'Challa. And I feel like T'Challa really makes it Black Panther.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure at some point, whose name is in the title, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm sure at some point in the comics, somebody put on the helmet or put on the whole costume other than him. But when I think Black Panther, I think T'Challa, and it's tragedy what happened to Chadwick Boseman. However, I don't think that means the character of T'Challa should be written off, because just as that character's storyline, what happens? He was introduced in Captain America 3. He was in Black Panther 1, died in Black Panther 1, came back in the same movie, came back in Infinity War, died, came back in Endgame, and now he's going to die off screen in his sequel. So I'm like, what are you guys going to do here? I honestly don't understand why they wouldn't. I mean, I know why. But it seems like just a very weird choice not to. Because I think the character of T'Challa is too important to just not to discredit Chadwick Boseman, but it's too important of a character just to push
aside. The character outweighs everything else. It's like anything else in life. It's like, you know, just because a 007 actor dies doesn't mean you're going to stop making Bond movies. You know what I mean? It's one of those ones. Yeah. Like, this is the perfect example of that. Is what you do if the Black Panther is you start the movie off and you have a big funeral and you have it, you know, you make it however you want to have him die in the movie. That's where you bring the multiverse and be like, we need to get our Black Panther in here. I mean, like, they do it more elegantly. They're just like, oh, this guy's dead. Like,
casket going down, picture with a reef, like Shuri and Okoye, arms behind their heads. Like, we got to get a new one. Black Panther 2.
They just shoot him out the back. It's like, bloop! It makes like a cartoon sound effect as he gets just shot off and like the back forest of a gun.
And they just like, just most like tasteless, crass thing they can do. Like, oh my God, look at all these crazy cameos from other Marvel characters trying to distract you from the like disrespect they just played to Chadwick Boseman and Black Panther. Like,
it's either that or that they just literally game of death it, and they just have like, oh, here's this 10 minutes of footage that we have of Chadwick Boseman, and we're going to get it filled in with this other guy. He's going to be wearing sunglasses half the time. We're going to kind of shoot it from the backside.
The wig, yeah.
You know, it's one of those ones like, hey, they've done it before. We can do it again.
Some point he's looking in a mirror and there's just like a cutout of his face on the mirror. Yeah.
And sometimes they'll just use other scenes from other movies that have nothing to do with like Avengers.
Just use a scene from like 42. Like, why was he dressed like a baseball player right there?
It's just intercut just terribly. But as I said, like that, I guess that's maybe that's the whole point of building up the multiverse, though, is just so they can figure out a way to bring Black Panther back.
I don't know. I honestly, they got to do something. Well, here's the thing, because Black Panther 1, I mean, it's a pretty important movie just for what it pulled off and what it did. So you don't want to undercut it with like, we're bringing in Submariner, we're bringing in Doctor Doom, we're bringing in the fucking X-Men, we're bringing in all this shit. Like, where's Black Panther? Fuck. You know, so you don't want to do that. But at the same time, if you have a movie called Black Panther, you got to get something to get asses in seats that are going to make people want to see, you know, it's just one of those. I mean, I already said it. I'm just repeating myself by now.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, I'm just interested to see what they do, because they say that's the next one. And then it's followed up by Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which is supposed to be the last one of those characters.
They'll probably go in other people's movies, imagine. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking, too. I don't know if one of those ones. Like, I mean, I know at some point people go like, oh, I'm kind of done with doing it. But it's like, are you done with that paycheck yet?
Yeah.
Vin Diesel, you done with that paycheck yet? I am. Well, no, yeah, okay, that's what I thought. one thing I hope, though, is like, speaking of Groot, it just goes with Thor 4, is that I hope that Groot finally grows back into his normal character. Like, by this point, it's like, I mean, in Thor 4, I really thought that Groot was supposed to be almost like now in like his college age years, because that's sort of what he felt like. He didn't feel like a teenager anymore. He felt kind of like a douchey college kid. But it's like one of those ones, like, I thought about it, I'm like, dude, he's only been regular Groot in the very first Guardians of the Galaxy. Isn't that weird to think about?
Yeah, it is. I assumed that what was going to happen in Guardians 2 is there was going to be some kind of, like, Deus Ex Machina moment where baby Groot was going to get, like, almost killed, and then he grew real quickly and just became full-grown Groot. Like, oh, now it's teenage Groot, now it's college Groot. And I honestly think, when they get to volume 3, it's not going to just be like, he's the Groot you know of and you think of right off the bat. I think there's going to be some moment where he turns into that Groot, and it's going to be like this fuck yeah moment. But it's been how many years by now, you know?
Yeah, I felt like it's like one of those ones. It was like, it's kind of like used as kind of a dumb joke. I mean, baby Groot, I get that. That's how you sell shit. But like, teenage Groot was like, one of those ones like, okay, kind of a dumb Groot thing. But then it's like, God, you guys have been milking that for like way longer than you should be. It's like, I love Groot just as how he is. Like, why Groot and Rocket's like one of the best combos ever. And it's like, it's weird just not having like full Groot there. It's like, you got like literally half Groot.
I love baby Groot. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, even people who don't like the cute, cuddly sidekick characters, like, yeah, I like baby Groot. Yeah, sure. Why not? When we get to teenage Groot, like, let's wrap this shit up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those ones, you know what I mean? Because it's like, I'm surprised that they actually haven't went with that yet, but it's literally just the Groot and Rocket Raccoon movie all the way.
We can get there at one point, I'm sure.
Because that feels like that's the easy one, dude. It literally could be an all CG movie. You don't have to even have.
Well, you never know. You never know what they're, you know. Well, time will tell, I guess.
But I mean, these movies are barely live action anymore when you really think about it. They're like 80% cartoon, 20% live action.
True. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what most big blockbuster movies are. So it's kind of funny when you hear someone saying, like, I don't like cartoons. I'm like, well.
And all I gotta say is, I'm being sparingly saying 80% is. Let's be honest, it's probably less than that even, because sometimes you watch those special features and you're like, shit, not even the costumes they're wearing are not even real. They're just all walking around like in like underwear practically, and they just CG it all over them.
Basically, by this point, even the capes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's one of those ones. Like, it's kind of funny how like there's technically like not live. There's very few of these kind of movies that are live action. Like, it's almost really impressive when you see the actual superhero movies that are pure live action.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thor, as I said, for me, it was middle of the road. Like when it was good, I did enjoy it, you know, but yeah, maybe like all Thor movies, I've always kind of hoping for more. And I feel like I'm always kind of just getting like lukewarm. As I said, like early on is, The Northmen, like that movie right there, that's the Thor movie I wish I was going to have. I mean, I know that's probably like me saying, like, when Captain America 1 came out, I was expected to have, like, Saving Private Ryan, like, feel to it.
Bucky with his guts out, like, Mama! Mama! Bucky, like, he has a shield, just, like, bashing a Nazi skull in, but it's not even, like, it's not just, like, oh, you knocked me in my face, but it's, like, part of his eyes are getting caved in, like a skull's getting split in half.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but you know, it is that kind of thing that you know, once you kind of pull back those expectations, go, okay, they're never gonna, at least not for a while, that they're gonna still kind of keep it in like the play it safe kind of realm and keep it, you know, like what it is. But Thor is kind of that one that's just, I've the character's amazing. Chris Hemsworth does a great job. All that kind of stuff that sort of surrounds him, he's got cool characters and cast around him. I just always feel like the team of the writers and the, you know, the whole crew and everything has never really like 100% got Thor. They've always sort of came in as like sort of like an outside perspective, being like, yeah, I think I can figure this character out, you know. And it's one of those ones like, they're never bad, but they're never like, it's not a Winter Soldier. Like, that's what I was always came home for. It's like, where's the, like the Captain America or the Thor movie that's like Winter Soldier, like that good, like that serious, like that, like badass of a film the whole way through.
I think that they're of the opinion of like, well, it's sci-fi, it's fantasy, we got to give people who would be rolling their eyes to this shit, we got to give them something to laugh at. And that's what I think they're gonna,
I think that's what it is. And they realize like, hey, let's be honest, if we took this stuff serious, like, you know, the normal mom and pop in Oklahoma is gonna be like, oh, this stuff's gay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are we watching here, honey? Like, you know what I mean? A bunch of spandex? Like, what is going on? But I feel like the thing is like, it's like the kind of people that really like it, it's like, man, I'd love to see them take it real serious and, like, you know, do it straight. You know what I mean? And so on like that. But it's like, I think they do realize, like, we're not going to sell, you know, gangbusters of stuff if we play it like the book. We got to sort of do our own take on it.
Which part of me gets, I enjoy them. I mean, I'll be honest. I like 3 and 4 more than 1 and 2. So for me, it's working, but at the same time, I'm like, I get what you mean. Cause at times the comedy can be overbearing. That said, I thought this movie was pretty fun, and yeah, I'm sure Thor will be back in something other than his own movie down the line.
Yeah, well, because at the moment, he's really like the, other than Hulk, it's like him and Hulk are kind of the two main characters now, as far as like the old A-lister characters.
Yeah, so, and then Hulk are the only ones left, really. Yeah.
So it is kind of interesting there. But yeah, fun stuff there. Beyond all that good stuff, you can always go to oldmanorange.com for more podcasts, comic books, Pizza Boy stuff like that. All that old fun stuff we got going on there. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And we'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.